Grandpa, I want the truth about Christmas.
If it's the truth you want, then it's the scary truth you're gonna have.
According to the Book of Claus, Santa, Satan's only son, lost a bet and was forced to spread Christmas cheer. But now, all bets are off.
Santa?
Yes, there is a Santa Claus. Ho, ho, hoes!
Santa Claus is not a myth or a legend. He's real. Only he's not bearing gifts and presents anymore.
Christmas can sure scare the dickens out of people.
He's scary yet educational.
I'm just trying to spread a little Yuletide fear.
Are you saying Santa is offing everyone who's naughty and nice?
Oh, my God! Nicholas shot him!
You shot Santa?
Run away! Santa's on the loose!
This holiday season...
Ho, ho, ho!
Lock your doors. Bolt the windows.
Aw, oh, Grandpa got run over by a reindeer.
Everyone stand back. Things are about to get a little messy.
And block the chimney. Cause naughty or nice, Santa Claus is coming to town. Santa's sleigh.
Go ahead, kids. Let's see what Santa got you.
I hate children.
You want 'em? We got 'em. Movies for guys who like movies. Coming up next, only on TBS.
All right, guys, welcome back to the New Blood Rising podcast. Here is holiday 2019. So if you're enjoying your Christmas break, whatever break, if you're in college, hope you're having a great time off for the holiday or whatever's going on in your lives. We're good. It's fun today because we're all back together as one to do a special kind of year-end episode. We did this last year a little bit with a Christmas-themed movie with a wrestler, and that's what we're going to be doing today. I'm William Rinkin, joined by Jason Kiesler.
Hey, how's it going?
Charlie Stabile.
Merry Christmas, you filthy animals.
And if only that's what we were watching today, we're talking about. I'd even watch Angels with Filthy Faces. Was that what
Angels with Filthy Souls. A classic fake movie.
Yeah. All right, so that let's start there. So today we're talking about Santa's sleigh.
It's just Santa's sleigh, Will, not Santa's. Isn't it just Santa's sleigh? No apostrophe S?
Oh, yeah.
Of course it is.
That's the most clever thing in the movie.
Of course it is. Of course. Santa's sleigh stars none other than Fran Drescher. I'm just kidding. That'd be great.
You're not wrong.
You get Chris Kattan?
Yeah. You get James Caan.
That's right. That means Goldberg's made movies with all the cons now.
Scott Conn.
Okay.
Pretty good.
You know, like, I'm so dumb. At first, I'm like, Conn, Nooney, and Singh?
Yes. That's
Shere Khan?
What I want. That's what
Tiger.
Now he just needs to do one
Shaka?
With Cumber. Yeah.
Wow.
It's probably one of the best bits from The Critic ever is the Rescue 911, where it's William Shatner, like, where we respond to an emergency at James Conn's house, and he goes, Conn!
Now I want a movie with all the cons. Shere Khan, Chaka Khan, Khan, James. It'd be amazing.
Yeah. It would be. I love the story about him on Brian Song. It's an amazing movie, of course. Brian Song is so good. And like the most emotional scene in the movie, like the deathbed, spoiler alert, Brian Piccolo does not make it to the end of Brian Song. On his deathbed, he's looking at Billy Dee Williams. And he's supposed to do this like really emotional goodbye. And just before they shoot, he's got a cigarette and a Coke, and he just looks over like, all right, let's do this. And it's this really emotional scene. So, like, you can't look at the scene the same way anymore when you just think about James Caan with a Coke and a cigarette just seconds beforehand.
Ready to die.
All right, let's do this.
All right, come on, guys. I got a heart out at 12:30, he said.
So
you guys pick this. I'm gonna let you guys kind of drive this because you guys wanted to do this. So talk about Santa's sleigh. Tell me about why this is important to do a special movies for guys who like movies, so to speak.
Well, I kind of like the idea of doing a Christmas theme movie because I counted. There's about six, so we're good for the next few years. I'd always wanted to see this, not for quality, but it's really for that concept. Jason, you know, this is the Ernest Saves Christmas fake movie.
That, basically, instead of being an alien, it's Santa.
It's Santa. And I remember when this came out, it was like, oh my God, they really went with this, and they picked Goldberg. And we didn't really go full deep on the cast here. I'm really curious about this cast, because, I mean, you've also got, like, Robert Culp. You've got Saul Rubinek. Like, the thing that's funny is that for being a Christmas movie, there's a lot of Jewish people in this.
Yeah.
I was going to say, this town, to be some town in wherever this is supposed to be, has a real large Jewish community.
I'm pretty sure it's Michigan. I'm pretty sure this is Michigan.
Is it Michigan?
I just want to say, like, there are a couple hints. Like, you know, the grilled Wolverine. Like, he gives them... It's a huge hockey town.
Grilled Wolverine, that's right.
Or grilled, whatever it is.
No, but I know what you're talking about.
You know what I mean? The plate of... Yeah, shit.
Grilled Benoit.
Yeah, grilled... There you go.
Oh, my God. That's right. So let me turn it. So not only do you have established people, but you have someone who, at the same time they were filming this, they were telling someone on a first season of a TV show, hey, can you hold off on my filming for a little bit? I got to do this movie that I'm sure is going to be a hit because this is a TV show. We don't know how this is going to turn out. Yes. The girl in the movie is Claire from Lost.
Right.
And so she's like, hold on, delay filming so I can finish filming Santa's Sleigh. Because this will be big. Oh, okay.
She must have filmed it at the same time. Yeah, because it's like, this is a 2005 release.
Yeah.
And I think Lost debuted in the fall of 04. So, because the guy she's with, I don't know this guy. I don't think I've ever seen him in anything before.
Well, he's got some good line deliveries. That's, what the fuck is that? A Necronomicon?
No, it pissed me off because he goes, a Necronomicon? That's like, oh.
Yeah, Necronomicon.
My favorite is like with a deadpan delivery. He goes, hey, no offense, are you fucking retarded?
When she gives him the gun, yeah, I laughed out loud.
So he tells her, I've always wanted an Optimus, you know, I wanted an Optimus Prime or Castle Grayskull. Okay, they're like going, oh, we're really trying to cater to our audience. We've got a wrestler as the evil Santa. We're talking about 80s toys. And then she gives him the gun, and he goes, a gun? And then it transforms, and she goes, well, you said you always wanted one. I was so hoping he'd go, this is an Optimus Prime! And because he's still an idiot, the way he's like, whatever he says to her to piss her off, is it calls her dad odd or something? Because all his guns.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He's like the hero of the movie, so we know where this movie's leaning in 2019. I said it. It's true. I mean.
But so let's talk about the story of this movie, because it's a lot of story.
For 74 minutes?
Yeah.
78 minutes? Is it 78?
It's 78, but probably 74.
Real quick, there
credits.
Used to be a rule. I remember this in the movie theater. If it's a live-action film under 90 minutes, it's no good. I've never heard of the live-action underneath 80 minutes. I don't know. That's getting into like some territory that I've never explored.
And 5.5 minutes of it are credits, and then there is a 4-second post-credit scene that looks like it was shot on a Nokia Techstar phone.
Yeah,
because it just literally looked like it was tacked on because it was horrible.
But go ahead, what's the story?
So Santa's actually always been evil. He lost some kind of curling match. I got 1,500 years ago. I don't know. And
1,000 years ago.
Just 1,000.
Well, because it's up. It's a millennium.
Oh, it's a millennium.
He's a millennium of being nice, and because I like how the kid's like, that was 1,000 years ago. It's today. It's like.
1,000 years ago.
It reminds me of, I got a first edition.
The first edition!
Of the Iliad for you.
Here you go. So he loses, and he has to do good deeds for 1,000 years, and by the time 1,000 years is up, he can go back to being evil and killing. Like, he's basically Satan. Like they keep alluding to that. They show that in the title screen, like when the words are kind of mixed up. And This is our movie.
He's the son of Satan. He's the other immaculate. Yeah, because they said there were two immaculate conceptions, one being Mary and Jesus, and then the other, I can't remember the lady's name, but it's so not for, like, ancient time name. It's like, and then here's, and it's, he's Santa, the son of Satan. That's why the names are so close, and he's a jerk. And I will give them big time credit for in the opening credit montage that was done on like the pre version of Final Cut Pro, because it's the same flip wipe. All those pictures of Santa doing the good deeds, he looks miserable as shit or angry. So I do like that it didn't turn him into a nice person. He just had to begrudgingly do all this. So yeah. I do like that.
And I do like the storybook artwork. Like, what? Here's something in the movie that's really strange, because I honestly didn't know the tone of it before I saw it. I always saw that front cover and was like, oh, this is just going to be like Jack Frost or something, just a horror movie. They're set during Christmas time. The things that Goldberg does is like really like intense and horrifying, but it's set to the most holly jolly bullshit music, just so that we don't feel too bad.
I saw a video online where I forget the name to credit him correctly. So this is not mine, but I like this comparison. It's like, it sounds like your high school teachers got together in a Go-Go's cover band.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I think flat out this movie would ought to me be at least 1.5 points higher without the shitty music that's dubbed over. Like, it's like that Sharknado-esque bad quality music they throw in there. That just keeps going, haha, this is supposed to be bad, and it really just ruins it.
It's a dark comedy, can't you tell?
I would love to think that they had a really intense score, and then they screened it for an audience, and you're like, this is, way too intense.
Look what he's doing to that stripper.
That Trent Reznor did it. Because it's not only bad music, it literally sounds like when it comes on that someone was playing a copy of the movie and then someone was playing the tape in a boombox and just filmed it, because it sounds so, the mixing so bad.
Yeah.
So the kids, I guess, the boy and the girl work at this, what is it? Is it a deli?
A deli.
It's just that Saul Rubinek runs, and then he goes home and he's got this grandfather that's really weird, and everyone thinks he's strange. But as it turns out, he's the only sane one. And he's the one who did this to Santa all those thousand years ago.
You know, defeat him in the curling match.
Defeat him in the curling match. Don't know how he's still alive, or, you know, they don't really, I don't care. And it's Robert Culp's.
And somehow he had a child, like, just yes. 16 years ago.
Just 16 years ago, he went, you know what, it's probably about that time.
Well, no, I guess it was further than that. He had a son.
Right. Because what happened to the parents?
We don't know.
I want answers.
This kid is the ultimate orphan. You don't know what happened to his parents. He's just living with his crazy grandpa.
I'm no one. I'm no one. Everyone thinks they know me.
Easy.
No one does. I will say, I love the animation in the middle, the Raskin, like, that is really cool.
Holy hell, where did that come from?
That they act, like, that's, like, the smartest thing in this movie is, like, you know what, this would be a really cool homage to, you know, those,
Rankin and Bass.
Yeah. That's it. No, well, it's not me, but thank you.
Rankin.
I'm just kidding. I appreciate it. No. But
Rankin and
Salt. It's like astonishingly well done.
It's fantastic.
And maybe it's because the movie's so bad that like it elevates it, but I really do think it looks good.
One unforeseen thing I saw was that there's actually more than one wrestler in this movie.
Oh, I'm sorry, yep. I missed the who is this?
Zeus.
Yeah.
Oh, Tiny's in it?
Tiny.
I must have been part of the
problem. How? That's the most problematic scene in movie history right now, because it's just like they go, we need to spice things up a little bit. This town's looking pretty white. So we're just going to... And it's not that they... It's like, okay, cool. You get a cameo from Zeus. It's just that as soon as they show Zeus, really bad fake hip-hop background music comes in. He's doing nothing but talking about how violent it was in the hood and is somehow aware of what happened to the people in the strip club just the night before, because they're all out of gum because the gum delivery driver was killed at the strip club. Like, that's pretty specific knowledge. So I was thinking, oh man, he's gonna be like an angel. He's gonna be something. You just never see him again.
You never see. So real quick, this is saying, like, IMDb says it's Santa's sleigh. I don't mean to be nitpicky here, but I'm just wondering if this is either an error. God forbid IMDb has an error, or if it actually was. I don't know. The poster here too. Is
show
this...
the poster. Oh, yeah, that's one poster.
Wait, Brett Ratner?
Yeah, Brett Ratner produced it.
I missed that in the credits too.
Yeah.
Man, how about it?
How about not?
That's how they got probably that first scene. Was
yes, I definitely think that. Mm-hmm.
And then he went, all right, guys, you're on your own.
It sounds like that's the I've not seen the trailer, but I feel like that's the trailer of the movie.
Like the whole thing?
I would. Why not?
You know? He comes down the chimney and that music starts and it's ridiculous. One thing I do like, though, I do like Goldberg's Santa costume.
Yes.
Like, I'm not wrong there? Okay, because I thought it was really, like, it had a sinister look about it, but not obvious.
Yeah. And I like that there's a, like, they give him the character trait of he takes his hat off before he kills.
Yes.
Like, I know that's something stupid, but in this movie, like, well done. Like, this
I'll
made
take
a
what
point.
I can get.
Yeah.
I agree. Yeah. Yeah, it was good. But man, like, that strip club scene is insane.
Oh, yeah.
Like, just...
that, I will say, I love the makeup on old boy when he gets lit up or he gets electrocuted.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
That I mean, quality work. And then that person must have left. That was their only day on the set. Like, all right, you can't afford
can't
me.
Can't afford you anymore.
No. Greg Nicotero shows up. You got one favor, Ratner. One favor. And yeah, can't take more than a half hour.
Because when you look at this David Steinman, the guy who wrote it, I put that in quotes, and directed it, most of his credits are assistant to Brett Ratner.
Brett Ratner? Red so Brett Dragon, Ratner was trying
Rush
to give him a rub.
Two, Family Man.
Family Man. Yeah. All right, there you
but
go.
But this was the only movie he wrote and directed, I think, for good reason. Although it did make like $6,000 in the United Arab Emirates.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't know if I said
what?
That right. I don't know if I even
oh,
said
the
that.
I always pronounce it Emirates. Like,
yeah,
is that
I
what you're talking about?
Yeah,
I don't know if
I
that's even
that
right.
That's my fault.
But did this movie have a theatrical release
no.
in the U.S.?
No.
So how could
no.
it do well? Like, especially in 2005.
Oh, I have no idea. I looked up. I could not find like any numbers
no.
really about... like
it was direct to video
about and of course like back then what a different market that
that's
was
what I'm saying like today
to...
it could do well yeah. I think
but yeah do you think that this movie would have done more or at least had some kind of promotion if this was done when he was still wrestling instead of after
if this
possibly.
Is a 99 or 2000 if he does this instead of Universal Soldier what
the return
right wow. maybe sure. It may have even snuck into theaters, if it was made back then.
Well, I mean, they kind of did this movie again a few years ago with Krampus,
right?
And that's Goldberg would have made a all right Krampus, I guess. Sure. It's just the idea of Santa Claus being evil is really hard to accept. And Krampus is a better version of this movie. This is a very typical Gremlins type movie. The town gets shut down, and they have to figure out a way to beat this thing. Like that's pretty much it.
All right, so. Starting with Jason, like, why do you like this movie? Why do you...
he likes it?
Or,
yeah,
I mean, why do you...
Bravo, Jason! Bravo!
No, Jason... Whoa, Jason, I don't like it. I enjoy watching it for the reason I enjoy watching a lot of bad movies. It's fun.
Of course.
It's probably, like, at least the first half is fun with a group of people. And then it, like, really slows down and it tries to get plot. When it's just, you know, Santa Goldberg going around and murdering people, it's pretty fun. There are a lot of things, like I mentioned, like the hat thing, and then there's like an odd attention to detail in really weird spots, like the scene where he's careening down the road behind the old lady in the car and the reindeer's running on the road, he's not flying, there's tiny sparks where the bottom of his sleigh is hitting the road, and I thought, like, okay, that stuff, you know, it's just little things that you wouldn't think people that get paid attention to in here, just like him always taking his hat off before he kills somebody. The plot itself or the story of evil Santa and why he's evil and the millennium is up, that's a great idea. It's just the execution is really piss poor.
Yeah, it's not bad. And the production quality is actually, I thought, pretty impressive. I was expecting a low rent bullshit movie, and I just got a bullshit movie, but with a decent look to it.
Yep.
And that's probably the nicest thing I can say about it, is that, like, I wasn't unconvinced by the effects of 2005.
Right.
Like, the worst looking shot to me is when they, I guess when they're doing the second curling match and you see Into Hell.
Yeah.
That doesn't look that good. But other than that, yeah, it's not bad.
Yeah, and Dave Thomas is pretty funny in it.
Oh, Dave Thomas.
Yeah. I mean, like, the scene where he's reading off the stripper names at the Christmas Day, like, sermon or whatever it is, and he just keeps reading them and looking at reactions for the crowd, because he's like, Tess Tickler, Dixie Enormous. And, like, my thing is, like, Tess Tickler, okay, that's a fun stripper name, but if you're going to do, if you're a Christmas movie and you're doing a strip club with a marquee performer, your stripper name should be something Christmas related. Testicular is not. Like Missy L. Toe or something, and then have just like some, you know where I'm going. I mean, just something, just there. But it's like there's like I mentioned, there's a lot of attention to detail, and then there's so much half-assing as well. As far as, because how does Santa just kill everybody, or does he decide to? I mean, it just seems like if you meet him, you're done. Or are we supposed to interpret that if Saul Rubinak would have had the deli open so that Santa could get a sandwich, he wouldn't have killed him? I don't understand.
There's like two things that I really don't understand. One of them is, I guess he just kills to kill. Like, it doesn't seem like he's trying to meet a quota.
So at first it seems like, what I like is, each person in the first couple at least, like the lady in the deli who's just the worst customer ever.
Oh,
or
God.
The family. They're always set up before he shows up, like, these are not nice people.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So they're naughty people. And he, instead, like, this is how he takes, instead of, you know, you getting coal, he just murders you. So it was like, okay, is this what we're going to do? Like, he's knocking, he's basically killing off naughty people. But then you're right, then it's like, Saul Rubinek's really not. Like,
what did he do?
He's not really a bad guy.
Yeah, he just said we're closed.
Yeah.
And I do like that Goldberg bothered to break the window and then flip the clothes to open.
Yes.
Like, that. Stuff like that saves movies.
Again, this is credit to the video I saw that was just running through all the kills again, which was just fun to look at. Goldberg does that spear for real.
He does! Yeah. Saul Rubinak,
so
doesn't
cool.
He?
Yeah, that's right. I give him credit. I'm not a huge Goldberg guy, but man, I respect the fact that he does his spear through like a...
it's a glass.
Yeah,
it?
Yeah.
Through
a deli cat. I mean, he figured...
On this day.
He just figured, well, fuck it. I mean, I lost a year and a half for breaking a limousine window. What's the deli counter going to do?
You think you're naughty?
Oh, God.
The second thing that I don't get... I don't understand how time works in this movie. There's this thing about, well, it's 5 hours ahead at the North Pole. At 7 o'clock, it'll be midnight, and all this shit will be over. And then it gets to be 7 o'clock, and Goldberg's like, I'm also Father Time as well. And it's
He said, no, because right. He's like, you idiot. He said, the North Pole is the point where all the time zones converge. And I'm like, yeah, so, that does make sense. Like, why would the North Pole be beholding to the time zones? Because the time zones are latitudes. But, like, yeah, it's where he tells him that also. And then the grandpa just goes, he's faking, he's bluffing, he's just trying to get away. Like, what?
Aren't you omnipotent too? Don't you know this?
He becomes a force ghost.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
That's because he's an angel. He was an angel that gave up his immortality. Because remember Goldberg goes, oh, the angel. Like, what the fuck, man? Like, was this part of your plan, Goldberg? Goldberg Claus, what do we call him? And also, shouldn't he be Hanukkah Harry instead of Santa?
Hanukkah.
Now, 8 crazy nights of murders would be awesome. Because then you get time to build it up and, like, just go all out with the craziness. And
I like that he's not really defeated. Like,
at all. Yeah, he's stuck in, like, airport terminal for, forever. Yeah. Waiting for his flight.
Yeah, like, I whenever there's a...
It ends the same way as Don't Breathe.
Yeah. Whenever there's, like, a horror movie and there's, like, a stalker, a beast, a killer, whatever it is, a thing... Like, in your mind, like, oh, man. Like, because, like, when it's just such a killing machine throughout the movie, you're like, man, something really stupid's going to upend this thing. But it doesn't happen here. In fact, he just kind of stuffs Dave Thomas into the sleigh and lets him take the fall.
Shit out of him.
He lets him take the fall for it and get shot up by the NRA of the movie. Just yeah. light him up.
And that's my favorite part, is people have seen this Santa. I mean, you would think. And then they are able to physically confuse Dave Thomas for Goldberg. I mean, if I was Dave Thomas, I'd be like, all right, that's cool. And also, why is Goldberg fat? They keep calling him Fat Boy.
Yeah, that's right. He's like, oh, Mrs. Claus is a good cook. Yeah. Who's next?
Oh, he says that, Charles.
Doesn't he say it at the end?
That's the post-credit scene that's so fuzzy and blurry that it looked like it was, like, told it was like filmed like on a StarTech phone. And he's just like, who's next? And then like it's over with super quick.
I would love if they had done this in 1997 with peak Austin, like before he like and
before he went and, full face.
And as he doesn't kill people, he just beats people up around town. And the music plays every time he shows up, and then he just starts just and then he leaves. He just leaves. He doesn't do anything.
Take your ass to church.
It's like every scene is like when he showed up to Brian Pillman's trailer and he beats up those
dudes. Go in the pool. Yeah, above ground pool.
Yeah, that's a classic.
He throws the wagon at that guy.
Yeah.
I was going to say, he still takes a red wagon. Red wagon and just beats the shit out of people with it.
Cause ho, like, ho, ho, you son of a bitch.
I do think it's like funny, like the mythos of like, you know, Santa has to be sneaky so you don't see him is completely disregarded. He just shows right up.
And he just starts to hear the music outside the house. Oh, no.
There's no explanation where the music's coming from. It's just with him as he goes from place to place. But in this movie, like, it's the same sort of thing, though. Like, there's no, like, oh. You know, he's sneaky because...
Yeah, Goldberg being sneaky.
Oh,
yeah,
of course.
How about it?
It's like Goldberg being a good wrestler.
Stunner!
I'm just kidding.
But I mean, they do all these shots of his sleigh in the sky, and people are like right outside looking at it, but no one goes, holy shit, do you see that? Because he's a horrible driver. Like, it's like up and down and up and down, and it's just like, come on, man.
No, that's true. Emily DeRaven, when she first leaves the guy, her boyfriend, whatever's house, she reverses the car out of the driveway, and literally Santa rides right by on the sled. And it's like, how can you not see that?
Yeah.
And it's just like they didn't even care.
No, they're just it's all, we'll do it in post. Remember to act like you see something, and then she got, and they're like, that's good enough.
I do like the move of when Santa gets on the car and he tells Emily to slam on the brakes. Oh, no, it's the truck. When he gets stuck in the bed of the truck. And it's like, slam on the brakes, hit the gas, and he just goes rolling out of the truck. I was like, okay, well, that's kind of fun.
Well, because he shot him in the face, but the glass didn't break in the back window somehow. Magic bullets. Magic bullets. Come on, if you're going to buy Santa, buy magic bullets.
So this reindeer eats people, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he like burps up a hat. I think that's what it was.
Yeah. Says valet. That's how you're supposed to know he ate him.
Yeah.
Oh, right. That's right.
Which is, wow.
That's good scripting.
Yeah. Sure.
It's quality. Letting me in on the information. That's what I want. I want to know what's going on.
That's right. Don't spoon feed it to me. Just kind of let me know. Yeah. Right.
Just kind of lead me to the water. I'll take a sip.
You know, with movies like this, what I'm fascinated by, and I think about, is like, okay, when you're conceiving of the project, like, this is what we're going to do. What are your expectations, like, for the release of it? Like, are we going to make this X amount of money? Because, like...
Back then?
Because everything gets wrapped up. It's like, it's so bad, it's good. And it's like, I don't think people intentionally make bad movies.
Unless it's Sharknado.
And I'm like...
Yeah.
Which the first one like totally fit into their whole like catalog of goofy
Sharktopus. Yeah,
it just happened to be a cultural phenomenon. It
really was.
It became what Snakes on a Plane wanted to be.
Yeah, that's what was weird, because that is actually a decent movie.
But it wasn't like. What's funny is like Snakes on a Plane wasn't bad enough to become Sharknado.
I guess that's it.
It just
comes back around.
It just kind of rode down the middle, and it just became forgettable.
Yeah,
more than anything, and. But anyway, the reason I say that is, like, I just wonder, like when you're you know this movie sounds just dumb.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not talking about, like, before you even shoot it, like, we're gonna get this wrestler. It's gonna be called Santa Slay. He's gonna
Santa. We're trying to get Jimmy Conn.
And I just wonder, what are the expectations like for when back you make then, these movies?
This is what I think. Back then, back in the days of video stores, you would be enticed to watch a movie just by seeing the front cover. And it's an interesting cover, and it says Bill Goldberg. Like, I think they were banking on wrestling fans just renting this movie.
That goes back to the whole Golem Globus thing, where it's like they just made posters.
They made posters, and then the movie to try to fit the poster, and it never happened that way.
Yeah, it's just the best.
That is an awesome way to make movies. Not.
I mean, you go back to, like, even further, like, with books in grocery stores, like, the trashy romance.
The romance novels.
They're made completely by the cover. Star Wars, the original.
If you could just bend her over, I mean, you'd be a bestseller. No, they're always in the sheets.
Look at the original poster for A New Hope. Awesome. Like, this really, like.
God, this one was
Feel the force.
Put it in your mouth.
Yeah. All right.
But anyway, yeah, I just wonder about stuff like that. Like, what are people thinking about?
This isn't a $100 million, like, box office movie.
Because I think, yeah, I exactly. Like, I'm pretty sure they knew. I wonder if they knew they were going straight to.
I'm sure they did. Goldberg's only movie that we knew of him from that point was Universal Soldier.
Well, this is Longest Yard, the same year as that, right? 2005?
I think so.
Yes, but I think it came out right before.
What a two punch in May for Goldberg if that was the release was in May.
Oh my God! Christmas horror movie released in May. Fantastic.
You know, that's
never good.
I'm trying to remember when. Oh, I swear there's been like a.
Surviving Christmas came out in October.
That may be the one I'm thinking of.
And then it was on DVD in December. That's brilliant.
Well, now nowadays stuff is out super quick. Joker came out, the first week of October? It's already out on digital release.
But usually, like, with Christmas movies, they wait a year. Like, at least that's what they used to do.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, we'll put it out in November of next year. And I think they did that with Grinch, the new one.
Which, that's 2000. That makes sense. That was back like when they cared about that release schedule.
Got to make that money.
And everything. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that just makes sense. It's not like that now. And Santa Claus, like, this, Santa's Sleigh, this movie actually has like a few DVD releases. I think it's in a double pack with something.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, like it's.
I'm shocked WWE Studios wasn't in on this.
Feels at like the one time, of their movies.
You know, like it does. Like, I mean, God, and you know, what's sad is like their movies are. I hate to say it, they're even worse than this. At times, like
at times, sure.
I mean, they've had a couple. I mean, it's not to say their whole catalog is bad, but like, there's some of theirs where like they're not even like funny, enjoyable, entertaining. It's like, man, this is just bad.
I think we gave up after a while because we tried to run through them.
Yeah. And we've even tried to go through the Steve Austin catalog, and that's bad. Like, I wish there was a Vern book about the Steve Austin catalog of films, because those are
Out for a Kill or Hunt to Kill.
Hunt to Kill.
Was, and they tried to promote it as starring two people from The Expendables.
Yeah,
that's how
right.
They were promoting it.
What was the boxing movie On the Ropes?
Oh, the one he's like this.
Yeah, where he shaved.
Knockout.
Knockout, yeah.
On the Ropes. What a generic boxing movie title. Or Against the Ropes.
Well, were those even WWE films?
I don't think so.
You know which one was? Was that crappy Randy Orton movie we kept seeing previews for?
The one, Money I'm going to go to the papers.
Yeah, I'm going to go to the papers.
I'm going to go to the papers.
What's it called?
I think it's called Go to the Papers. I don't know. No.
Sam I Am? That's what I am?
With Ed Harris? You get Ed Harris acting against Randy Orton? God,
Ed Harris doesn't stand a chance.
I think...
but what would be great if it's the Ed Harris from History of Violence versus Randy Orton? I'd watch the fuck out of that.
Yeah.
I'm a shit in your bag, Ed Harris.
There was another Cena movie. What the hell was it? One reason from cover just doing this.
I don't. Well, there's the one the family reunion Cena. Movie. It's like a Western.
I think that's. Is that it? Oh God.
Well, there was the two Triple H movies that are like the exact same movie.
The Chaperone.
One's for kids, and then one's like supposed to be dramatic.
It is. It's the exact same movie.
Yeah.
Is it? One of those with Michael Rapaport, right? Is that the serious one?
Yes.
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 And
this, yeah, because both of them, he breaks out of, or he gets released from prison and he gets.
I thought you were gonna say he does a pedigree.
Guard, I'm having trouble with my lock here.
He pauses for a second, looks around at the walls.
Looks at the wall. Wants satisfaction from the walls. You want it?
Oh my.
I'm gonna go to the papers.
I'm gonna go to the papers.
Then there's the Jamie Kennedy Edge.
Yes, that's the one I was
breaking all
breaking
the rules.
Breaking
all the rules. Breaking some of the rules.
Breaking the box office.
Breaking a rule. One of the rules.
Breaking my concentration.
Terrible.
And, yeah, that's right.
And God bless Edge. He's doing a movie or something with Kelsey Grammer.
Good now, I will say, I feel like they remade that movie, the Batista one, Stuber.
Stuber.
I want to see that because I've heard that was like a they tried to shoot for like a Shane Black type of movie. They wanted to go like a rated R action comedy. And I was like, I'll give it a shot. Sure. It's got...
Batista's fun.
I can't pronounce Kamal, that guy's name.
Kamal Nanjiani. I love Kamal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That guy's funny as hell. Yeah. That I wanted to see that a lot because I felt like it was a remake of Breaking All the Rules because it was like, it's a straight guy with an eccentric wrestler,
right. Basically.
Yeah. That...
Man. Well, WWE keeps cranking out Christmas movies with Miz.
Yeah.
That's what they're doing now.
Yeah.
There's like three of them.
I wanted to see the, this isn't a Christmas one. I want to see the Dean Ambrose one where he's like, it's like Die Hard.
Oh, the one where they did Die Hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to see that one. Because
Dolph
see...
Ziggler in the hand now?
You mean, well, no, there's, you mean 12 Rounds 3?
Yeah.
That's the, 12 Rounds 3 is on HBO right now.
It's the 15th round.
It's on HBO right now.
This was supposed
right
to be an exhibition.
And I do want it, the Dolph Ziggler movie, I want to see it because it's weird because it's like a universe where they're at a WWE event, but like Dolph Ziggler and Kane aren't wrestlers. And Rusev gets a gun. Like, that's enough. Yeah. The fact that they put that in the trailer, I'm like, all right, they knew. Rusev with a gun, I'm in. Like, and it's all bad. I'm Russian Rusev too, so.
Are they making films for the WWE Network? Like, are they doing any original content like that?
That's why I wish they would.
I still don't get why those movies aren't on the network.
Right. Like, at that, they should be. Like, that's what's great about the Disney Plus model. It's like, and Netflix, too. It's like, guess what? We'll just make our own stuff in the house.
What's WWE doing? I mean, it's got to be a rights issue. But...
Well, they keep making, like, one episode of one thing, and then...
What happened to the cartoon that Seth Green was doing?
Exactly.
Just done. We don't even announce cancellations anymore. You just have to figure it out for yourself.
Oh, no. Talking about that Camp WWE?
Yeah. What happened to that?
Oh, my God. I'll tell you what happened. It fucking burns in hell. That's what happened to it. Uh-oh.
Not my Cena.
No, it was not that. No, my... It's just that bad. Like, I tried to watch it. I was like, all right, this is cool. You got Vince playing himself. You get Ric Flair playing himself. Sergeant Slaughter was great, but, like, no. Then I was just, it was really bad. It just felt like dick and fart jokes.
I did not see the Jake the Snake stories. They did that too, didn't they? The animated
WWE Story Time. Yeah, that show was pretty cool.
Except, like, you know, the stories
they're not going to do the Jake stories I want. Like the one with the hot dog.
The dog shitting.
Yeah, that
We all have our jakes now. We're just stroking him. We're shove that kielbasa down his throat.
We woke up. We're all just standing there jerking off. And it just you get Mean Gene. Well, that's it for story time.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Put that cigarette out.
Yeah. Yeah. Fuck it.
Fuck it.
I mean, like, they're not going to give you those. Like, I think them if they did original movies or they did their old movies and let it, you can watch the old movies or get some of the ones that are kind of funny to do. If I get to watch wrestlers do commentary on movies, that's like funny. I think that would be fun. Like Gallows and Anderson doing commentary over like some of the WWE films.
That seems really hard to do because that's it's so. Like, there's so many people who watch Mystery Science Theater 3000. They're like, oh, I could do that.
It's hard.
It's like, really you have hard. To watch it, like, what, 50, 60
times? They said
times?
They watched it on average, like, 100 times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You have to watch... I mean, it's...
That's unbelievable to watch a bad movie that many times.
Yeah, yeah.
Every week.
Any movie. Like,
yeah, any movie.
I mean, to watch a movie that often... I mean, like, that's... Did you guys watch Botch Club?
Nope.
Like, And I, was that on principle, Jason? It sounds like it was.
No, it's just like, I was, it's when they were just throwing stuff up and going, mm-hmm. hey, let's try this. And there's only one thing. And I was like, nah, because it's, if there would have been a bunch of them, I would have watched, but I'm not going to watch some, like, in, get invested in something for it to be a one and done like that.
I heard Edge and Christian's thing was always really cool. They're...
It was. It yeah. was. It was real funny because it's, I mean, they go like real deep wrestling like lore and do funny stuff. I mean, there's like an episode that Carlito's in, and they're like, "Whoa, we're shocked they let you let us use you." He goes, "Me too, but I guess that's why we're not shooting it in the studio." Just like, you know, like fun stuff like that. It's like, and the where they go to be rich, and like Shane McMahon teaches them how to be rich snobs. Like, it's good stuff like that. That's like real tongue in cheek. That's like going, okay, you're watching this, we're going to reward you for being a lifelong wrestling fan, and not just stuff that's in front of the camera, but all the backstage stuff you always hear about, we're going to fuck around with that too and have a good time. So especially the second season was a lot better than the first.
Yeah. I'm something like Santa's Sleigh would be something great for them to try and do themselves on their own network
with
that Braun they
Strowman.
Own. Sure.
There you go.
Why not?
Sneaking around.
Don't aren't in one some and some of the bestsellers of pain, or what are they? What are their names?
No, the Arthurs of pain.
What are they?
A bunch of drunk Arthur? Dudley Moores. Yeah, Arthur.
You know, they have a lot of guys with beards now. Like, just
they, everyone has a fucking beard.
I mean, they need to have just like a club of Santas that just go around beating people.
Oh, you mean the only club that matters, and it's like a right. bunch of Santas just. Yeah, oh, a biker club of just Santas that oh my God, that's a Rob Zombie movie right there. Just, yeah, I like it. Red hat, black top. Well, we just killed it, so.
Richard Morton. just, yeah.
Oh.
So, we're going to take it home here?
I mean,
is there anything else you want to say about this movie? I mean,
we haven't talked about the movie in 10 minutes, so I guess we're done.
What else can you really say?
I can say it's a watchable, like, if you're having a friend's Christmas and you're just wanting something fun in the background for everybody to watch, just hang out with and have a couple drinks, it's worth watching the beginning because, you know, by the time you get to the plot exposition, everyone will be ready to go home anyway. So I mean, it's a good night closer. It other than that, you know, I mean, we watched it so that you didn't have to, so you're welcome.
I will say, I think it's an infinitely better movie than Santa with Muscles.
Mm.
Like, it's watchable. Like, that's the number one thing. Santa with Muscles is bad memories. Bad memories.
Yeah. Bad memories.
Yeah, because I remember it took me a long time to even get through it because of just there's no flow to it.
Yeah,
like this movie at least. I mean, it's not a good movie, but I don't hate it. I don't hate Santa's Sleigh.
Unlike Santa with Muscles, it feels like this movie was at least written before they started filming.
Right, I feel like this is what the movie became. You know, like it might have been a good movie, like the script earlier, and then just kind of got put through the machine.
You think so?
Maybe. It's not a bad idea for a. Oh.
I'd love to hear your pitch for the Santa's Sleigh.
All right, so hear me out, right? Santa, fucking psycho killer, okay? Well, we've seen that. No, but he's the son of the devil. Well, it's why Morgan did he Freeman. Get... It's Morgan Freeman, what? Santa Claus was an evil man.
It's a thriller, you see. This guy shows up and he says he's Santa, but nobody believes him. And then he has to go to court and prove he's Santa, and they bring in these bags of letters.
Wait a minute, I know this movie. Sounds awesome.
Is it the Ice Storm, just with Santa? The Ice, Ang Lee's Ice Storm, but with a bunch of wrestlers and Santa.
So then Dylan McDermott comes in. Oh no, it's even better if you mix him up. It's Dermot Mulroney.
Oh.
All right. So then Eric McCormick comes in. All the people I mix up with him, that would be perfect.
And then you got Tegan Egerton or whatever his name is.
Taron Egerton?
Well, yeah. And then what's the other ones with the weird names now? It's like there's like the three guys now that are, they all have really weird names. All
right, You're right.
All
right,
so there's the guy in Solo. That's, yeah. That guy is.
What guy in Solo?
The Solo, Han Solo.
Alden Ehrenreich?
Yeah, that guy.
Oh, you're talking about the Cyclops, guys that he's mixed up. Okay.
Slash Ready Player One guy.
Right, that's, you're right, it's the same sounding. It sounds exactly the same. Right,
yeah.
Right.
And then there's Rocket Man.
That's Taron Egerton.
Right, right.
Hold on, ready? Yeah, I have to get that name going.
I always.
Ty Sheridan.
Right.
Yeah. So
you have this. Well, can you imagine them as a running club of dudes, yeah, just going around?
Yeah, the bland leading the bland. Yeah, I like Ready Player One, but Ty Sheridan, woof. Alden's good.
I don't remember him. I haven't gone back and watched those X-Men movies in a bit, like with him, like Apocalypse, and I have not seen Dark Phoenix. It looks just unbelievably bad.
It's solid.
But I don't remember him as Cyclops.
I don't either. Kind of, I have no recollection of that.
Yeah. But I like Ready Player One. He's fine.
Huh?
He's fine at Ready Player
One. Oh, well, yeah. Well, he does what's called for him. Plus, he's not, you know, he's CGI most of the time. Right. So, yeah. It's like Sam Worthington. It's like, yeah, I guess he's all right in Avatar.
Right. I heard somebody the other day really like standing up for Avatar, and I was like,
really?
I was like,
I'd like to meet this individual.
But then, like, they close it out with, like, but it's not very rewatchable. And I'm like, well, then why are we talking?
Not a good ending.
Then why are we talking?
No, he had me.
Yeah, I mean, like.
It has to be rewatchable. It'd be good.
Yeah, 10 years ago, yeah, it was revolutionary in terms of doing the 3D thing. You brought it out, which is great. But that's all you did. Because everything else is pretty forgettable.
We'll see what the sequel does. Because that's where it all rests on.
Them, yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, what would you rate Santa's sleigh?
2.
Okay. I don't know.
I mean,
Jason, what do you rate this, man?
Man, well, as little and as vitriol as Will had to say, I got to go a little higher because I did enjoy it. I would give Santa Slay a 4, and if it didn't have the bad music, I'd give Santa Slay a 5.5. But the bad music's there.
Jason, cool. I give it a 3. It's not terrible.
It's fun to watch with a group of people.
Yeah, I watched it unfortunately alone.
Oh, me too. That's why I'm sitting here going, this would be so much more fun if my friends were here. Oh, look, Chris Kattan's finger banging Fran Drescher in front of James Gunn.
Man, I never thought I like, would, that's, you know, see that's something what like makes that.
That's why it seemed like it was going to be a completely different movie for a second.
I'd like to think that when James Gunn calls him a half. You know what?
That's Norm MacDonald talking.
That's an ad lib coming in there.
Yeah, because that's what they used to say.
Norm MacDonald talking.
Yeah, because that's what Chris Kattan used to get. You know, that kind of talk at SNL.
Right.
Yeah.
And I was like, did Norm slip Jimmy Conn something? Yeah. Let me tell you here.
James Conn looks like he's just ready to leave immediately. As soon as
I can't blame him. What's he doing here? Yeah. Like, it's when your mind kind of unconsciously goes, grandkid in college. That's the only thing that makes sense.
You think that there was enough money from this to send a grandkid to college? This even has credit to like the Canadian Film Society at the end.
Thank you for the tax cut.
Yeah.
That's what it said.
Yeah.
Oh God.
All right. So it was for 2019. You know, probably not as many episodes cranked out as we would have liked, but we're not going to quit. And I'm serious when I say that because it bums me out when I see online that there are podcasts that are just like, you know what, we're shutting down. It's like, why? Like, maybe it's a lot of time between your episodes, but we're not going to quit. We're not going to stop. It may be some time in between, like I said, because of various things, whether it's family, work, or whatever, but we're not going away. Too many people depend on this for the sake of their lives. I'm just kidding. I just threw that in there just to make it sound like we're more important than what we are.
That's a classic Christmas mistake. Let me tell you. Don't overvalue yourself.
But we will be back. We've got more work to do. We've got to get through from Sting to Hogan, and we will. Just be patient with us. And in the meantime, you can follow us on Twitter at New Blood Pod. We're on Facebook, New Blood Rising Podcast. I am at William Rankin 83.
I am at the Jason Kiesler.
And I am at CM underscore Stabs.
We'll see you guys again soon. I think we are at the Great American Bash, if I'm not mistaken.
Gotta sure.
I believe we're at the Great American Bash in 92. I think. But that's, I'm going to say that now. That could change. But that's where we'll see you guys next.
Merry Christmas. Yeah.